Today's podcast is brought to you by my book, The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. The Sex Spiral will teach you God's design for sexuality, the triggers that lead to porn addiction, and how to exit the sex spiral with a purity plan for your life. You can order online at Amazon.com or any other retailer. Hey, thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy today's show. Welcome to the Dustin Daniels Show, a radio program dedicated to bridging that gap between pornography and the church pew. A radio broadcast devoted to exposing the lie that's in pornography and instead pursuing the purity that is in Jesus Christ. I am your host, a redeemed sex addict, and now a pastor to those who truly want help with understanding their sexual brokenness and this journey to sexual wholeness with Jesus. And if you're asking yourself, why a radio show on porn and purity? Well, it's much more than that, really. It's about intimacy. It's about this intimacy that we all long for with our spouse and ultimately with Jesus. It's about becoming sexually whole, and then we do this, we learn how to do this with a community of believers. This show is not just about sexual purity. It's more about moral and spiritual purity that Jesus himself displayed while he walked and he lived with us on this earth. I mean, after all, we do have an epidemic. We've got an identity crisis on our hands with our sexuality. And at the end of the day, we're just confused. We really don't know who we are. 50 to 60% of Christian men are addicted to porn. And once again, in the clinical world, it's known as HD, hypersexual disorder. But did you hear that? 50 to 60% of Christian men, guys who love Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, they don't have a problem with porn. This is not just a small issue. They're addicted to it. And it affects every single area of their life, because they can't live without it. 20 to 30% of women are addicted to porn as well. Now, let me stop right here and let you know. Look, guys, I can relate to this. I chased the porn lie and the sex lie and the adultery lie for over 20 years. And now my job is to simply share with you hundreds of things of what not to do. It's really that simple. Because I chose to do the very things that the world told me not to do. The world told me, and they showed me, it was perfectly okay to look at porn and to experiment with sexuality and go to strip clubs and phone sex and cyber sex and committing adultery and ruining families. And it was okay to treat women as a commodity. That's what the world said, but I'm here to tell you the world's wrong. It didn't work. So the things that we talk about on this program are not necessarily from a certain book except God's Word, but more importantly, from the community of believers that also say this doesn't work. And the prideful and arrogant mistakes that I chose to make over 20 years of searching, I was searching for a lie. So what I'm here to do is start this conversation about pornography and about sex and purity. So you, once again, as a father and as a mother and as a family, can continue this conversation tonight and maybe this weekend. You know, this show is not a rated R show. Every time we kind of start this discussion, it gets a little creepy, it gets a little weird, and this is not a rated R show. This is a Christ-centered program that discusses the freedom that comes with sexual purity. Because if your children aren't talking to you about this, they're talking to somebody. So let's start the uncomfortable conversation. And if you are one of the 50 to 60% of men or the 20 to 30% of women that may not say you're an addict, but it certainly is an issue in your life, let me first say that Jesus loves you. And there's a community of people who will love you if you let us. And I love you, and we will embrace you to be a part of that journey. I would encourage you to visit sevenplaces.org. Spell out the number seven, S-E-V-E-N, sevenplaces.org. There's a free online community. Maybe that's your first step. Maybe that's the first step for you to get into a group and say, you know what, I've got a problem. And that, my friend, that's a huge, huge testimony to what Almighty God's doing in your life. There's video blogs on the website. There's an audio player with teachings about purity. And you can also find out about local support groups. So all of that to say that you are not alone, my friend. And I'm not alone either. I've got a really good friend of mine in the studio with me, Mark Miller, Phoenix chapter president of a ministry called Truth at Work. You're also the chairman of the board for Seven Places Ministries. And above all of that, you are a dear friend. You're a mentor to me, man. And we have had just an amazing ride over the past 4 or 5 years since we've met. So welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Dustin.
We are going to continue our conversation about prayer and what prayer looks like. And bringing prayer into the sense of God's definition of purity, not just from a sexual point of view.
No, it's not about that at all.
Everything that he did was pure. Right, Mark?
Yes. Yeah, he was all truth and all grace embodied in one, right?
So we were discussing just a few principles last week. We've got 14 or 15. We talked about one. Mm-hmm. We talked about last week, we talked about how God talks to all of us and that God loves us more than we can even fathom. Mm-hmm. And as we process that, let's move now towards God owning our life. You touched on that a little bit, but what does that look like? What does God owning our life look like?
Well, and they're all principles that get us to a place. It's been a 5-year journey for me to teach me anchors that I now am able to soar off of. I'm now tethered to these anchors. And one of them was this idea of ownership and stewardship. Most of us are familiar with the biblical stories around the stewards, right?
Right.
And the parables of the talents and the five and the three, or the ten and the three and the one. But God really revealed those, to really unpack those in a very different way to me. Because when he said to me, are you ready to learn how to trust me? And it shook my world. Then I said, okay, I am, but that means you're leading and I'm following. And I went, I didn't understand that, because I thought I'd been following my whole life. He showed up and he asked me this question. Remember what I said was, right, the questions are more powerful than the answers.
Amen.
God teaches me in the questions. And the question was, who owns your life and your business? Well, as any good Christian, I popped right out. You do.
Amen.
And the thought came back just like that. He says, how would I ever know by what you actually do?
Mm.
And that caused me to really examine my actions. And I realized, you're familiar with my favorite metaphor. My favorite metaphor is, if my life was an automobile,
right,
I spent 30 years with God locked safely in the trunk.
Mm.
And the beauty of that, which meant I was the owner, I was leading, I was driving. And this amazing God, remember we touched last time about how much he loves us?
Yeah.
This
absolutely.
God who loves us more than we can imagine would actually tolerate that. And this is what he'd do. I'd get in real trouble in my life, and I'd pull over, and I'd go unlock the trunk. And I'd get him out of the trunk, or he'd get out of the trunk, and I'd say, you need to help me. Help me. And he would. He would.
Absolutely, he would.
But it gets scarier from that. Then when I got through the situation, the crisis of the moment, I'd ask him to get back in the trunk. And here's the scariest thing of all. He would. He would get back in that trunk. And we'd drive for another 6 months or a year.
Until another crisis.
Until another crisis.
Yeah.
And finally, he never asked. He never said. He's so different than I thought. He just loved me right where I was at. Finally, one day it just occurred to me, hold it. I'm putting the God of the universe in the trunk of my life. So, you know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, right? So I invited him into the back seat. And then over the next couple of years, and finally 5 years ago, he said, are you ready to let me drive, Mark?
Mm.
And that's what it means. It means having a relationship with God that is so cool that he leads and we follow. And so my day starts with this quiet time prayer. It's about seeing the intersections. And you and I both get that. Absolutely. We're sitting here today because we followed intersections. This radio station today because we followed intersections. And that's what it is. It's about creating. There's a couple of key principles. One is that you've got to create space to hear.
Right. Absolutely.
The second one I've learned is there's a rhythm with God. And when I'm out of that rhythm, which is typically done when I get so busy and the world drives us to busyness.
Absolutely.
Then I have a hard time sensing or hearing anything. So I work really hard. I'm sensitive to that rhythm. And when I find it, boy, the reason people turn to sexual sin, right, is because they're looking for something on the inside that's broke. What they're looking for is that relationship with the God of the universe.
Absolutely. And the shame, the shame that we carry for those of us that are either in sexual sin, pornography, you name it, or are redeemed from that because of the blood of Jesus, the shame is so great, it scares us to death to even think about getting alone and getting quiet with God.
Sure.
But you say that, you know, the shame at the failure is not from God.
No, the shame comes from us, right? The shame keeps us in bondage. God doesn't mind. People hate it when I use that term. God doesn't mind. He loves us anyway. It doesn't mean he hasn't called us to a better place. But all the sin in my life, I mean, we're all addicted to something.
Right.
Some are more acceptable than others.
Absolutely.
You know, I never did the pornography thing. For me, it's lust. For me, and the Lord showed me years ago, hey, you're in lust for your wife. And those words didn't go in a sentence for me. I was like, well, you cannot be that. That's crazy, God. But he didn't say any more, and he worked me through that.
Right.
So we're all, and whether we're all addicted or caught up in something, but when we choose to live in shame, all that does is isolate us, right? Now you're back to your communities. Now you're back to
life. Because when we're deep in the midst of our sin, we don't want to be around people. We want to live in this fantasy world, Mark, of being treated the way that I feel that I should be treated. And it's
all about me.
This is all about me. It's, you know, it's the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I.
That's right.
And the shame also comes from the spiritual realm of Satan and his minions. So, you know, we've got these powers working against us that we can't even understand what's going on around us. But yet when we get into a community, just one person, I've said this, I don't know how many times, one man will change your life forever.
And God will create that intersection to that person you need. All you have to do is have your eyes open and your ears open, and he'll find it.
Isn't it amazing how when you look at the life of Jesus, when he dealt with people that were in sexual sin, he never shamed them. No. He loved them. Mm-hmm. And that's my encouragement to you. As you want to talk to somebody, listen to that voice. And this is exactly what we're talking about now, right, Mark? When you get this voice in your head or whatever it may be, like, hey, you need to talk to this person. Don't ignore that.
That's right. And that's why knowing his word is so important, right? Because we get voices in our head, but now the voices I hear all the time are him, and I just respond to now. And that really is key as we work our way through. If we can dump the shame, now we've anchored it, right? We're now gotten quiet with him. We now get that he loves us. We now get that he owns our life and will lead us. Now we can move past the shame. Now we're in a place to have this dynamic relationship where he'll lead and we'll follow. And
right.
And Dustin, that is the coolest place I've ever experienced. When I actually know I'm following the God of the universe to a place that I have no idea. If I thought too much about it, it would absolutely scare me to death, right?
Sure, absolutely.
But to a place you know has a purpose and is about changing people's... I won't say more.
There's some quiet time basics that we just want to give some suggestions, really, on how to do this. If you're not familiar with getting alone with God, or you've heard the term quiet time, and prayer scares you to death, look, there is no magic formula. This is a relationship, just like you have a relationship with your friends and your family and your spouse and your children. This is the same exact relationship that Almighty God, Jesus, it's the same relationship as you read the Gospels in the way that he talked with his friends, which were the disciples.
He will show you. See, that's the issue, is there's lots of books and teachings, right? But this is about a few basic principles that get us started, and asking the God of the universe, you lead now, and he will. And in all of the relationships, there's some common principles I've learned because I ask this question, particularly business owners, all the time. How's your quiet time?
Right.
And boy, I tell you, that can be a freaky question for business owners, right? But the ones who get it all have the same principles. They're this idea of silence. They typically starts with a devotion. It's the idea of silence. It's the idea of putting the cows in the barn or getting rid of all those thoughts. It's the idea of journaling what you hear and basing right. it around his word. Those were kind of the ones that he's taught me over this last term.
So to recap from last week, getting cows in the barn is basically just learning how to renew your mind, learning how to be silent in a place in your home when no one else is around. You don't have the TV, internet, iPod, nothing. It's just you and God. And when these thoughts, when you think, oh, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. And what you're saying, Mark, is write that stuff down.
Yeah, just have a little pad next to you. I have a pad next to you, and I scribble them down. And what I found for most people is as soon as you write the thought down, it disappears. And what you will experience, and be patient. It could take a while. It could take months. It can take weeks. For me, it was a couple of weeks. You'll get to a place where you're able to have, there's no thought in there. It's just you and him.
And just know that as you start this and you are involved with porn or sexual sin, you want this to happen just like this because your whole world is so self-centered. We live in this fantasy world that, once again, we want to tell God what to do. Fair. We tell him when to show up, and that is not how this is going to work. So I want to encourage you what's going to happen when you start this, because the principalities of Satan and his minions...
Well, the spiritual warfare, the spiritual is the negative. This Satan side is very real in what we're talking about.
So writing that stuff down, getting your to-do list, and then starting with a devotion.
Yeah. And I don't recommend devotions, but find one because it just centers you.
To start with something instead of just sitting there going, okay, what am I supposed to do now?
And if you don't have one, just read the red, right? Just open the new the Gospels and read the red.
Read the very words of Jesus, and it's amazing what will happen.
This year, just as a point for everybody, this year God's had me do nothing but read the Gospels over and over and over and over again. And while I was raised with them, there's so much in there you just have no idea.
Coming to God with a thankful heart, in a spirit of humbleness, one of the things that I just love to do. I'm one of those dreaded early morning guys, Mark, and I literally crawl out of bed and thank Jesus for the day that he's given me. And it's like, wow, I get the opportunity to start this day. This is the day that he has made, and I get to start it on my face.
Well, you see, it's really important because what happens to us, right, the core question, particularly in the world that you live in, which, in this world of sexual sin, is this about me or is this about God?
Right.
And humility and gratefulness and thanksgiving are the key elements of getting that it's about God.
Right.
And, the funny part about it is, as cool as this journey's been, God shows up regularly, and I'm talking at least once a month, and goes, Mark, I thought this wasn't about you anymore. So I'm pretty sure that we spend the rest of our lives wrestling with that. And starting with those principles is really helpful. At least is the other principle I do is to you be all the glory. You be all the glory of this day.
Once your mind is quiet, what do we do then? Once we have all the dreaded cows in the barn, once we have the to-do list to do, and then all of a sudden we start to experience. And once again, guys, this may take a week or so. We may show up, and start this on Monday or start this tomorrow, and we just, our mind will be so filled with the daily duties and concerns of what's going on today, it may take a while, and that's okay. I want to encourage you. But once we do find that place, Mark, where our mind is quiet, one of the things that you always mention to me is just hold up your concerns to God.
Yeah, there's really three things I've learned in that space. Once I get quiet, I'll just stay quiet. I'll just hold that silence. And occasionally, thoughts will start floating in, and that's almost always God. And then those are the ones I capture. But I'll bet 1 out of 10 that happens for me.
Mm.
So I'll get quiet enough to hear. If he's got something, because the real question is there something you want to do here, Lord?
Right.
And if it just stays silent, which means I'm just hanging out with the God, I'm just loving my Father, and he's loving me, and that's good enough, right? Then what I'll do is I'll take my concerns and in that quiet space. The term he's given me, or the visualization, is I hold it before him.
Okay.
And I say, Lord, do you have an opinion on this? And again, most of the time, over half the time, I don't hear anything.
Right.
And which means that, see, we all love for God to direct us. And what I've found is he cares a lot less about what we do outside of some of the sin issues that we're talking about
right.
here than we like to think. And I'll hold it up. And if he gives me something, I'll write it down. And then the third piece is, then if I move my way through that, and it's still a pretty quiet morning, and that happened this morning, then I'll go to his word. Then I'll look up a scripture or read a scripture, or I'll think something and then I'll just take one small piece of scripture, and I'll just meditate on it. And then at some point, you're going to feel, well, this is done, and you're done.
And I like the suggestion that you gave me is, look, just once you get to that point and you don't have anything memorized, or you're a brand new Christian and you don't know what the scriptures are, with fear, I'm scared, I'm angry, whatever it is, just Google scripture fear.
Right.
And it's amazing what will pop up and what, where he'll guide you in that process.
Well, and it's such an important, that is one of the great things he's taught me this year is Google really is the greatest Bible study. And there are theologians out there, I'm sure, I'm really upsetting, right? Because here's the beauty of using Google. You can put scripture beyond any thought and you're going to get 10,000 entries.
Right.
But the beauty of that is it encourages us to ask the Spirit of God what he wants us to do. And the day that hopelessness was in my world and there was a situation that was just incredibly hopeless for me, I Googled hopeless. Now, if you go Google hopeless scriptures, you get a million scriptures.
Right.
And I bet it took me 5 minutes of just kind of scrolling through the entries. And I'm doing this on my PDA, right?
Right,
But then I got to a point and all of a sudden one felt, and I double-clicked on it. And then I read about 15, and then one scripture. I thought, oh, that looks good. And man, that was the one that transformed. That morning is transforming areas of my life, that one of Ephesians 1, 18 and 19, right? May the God of hope open the eyes of my heart. And that's just, and the beauty of that is it's encouraging this hearing God's voice. I mean, in this day and time we live in, right, and we just got done with the elections here, so there's plenty of fear going around, right?
Right.
We don't need another opinion. We need to hear his voice and be led by his word. And that's what we're talking about today.
And he's the standard of truth, and that's why we need to do that. And the amazing thing is that Jesus, Almighty God, has made us not to be fearful, right?
That's right.
Our identity is not in fear. Our identity is in love and joy. And once we start kind of ironing this thing out and really going, you know what? Why am I so fearful? Why am I so angry? Well, the anger thing, that has a lot to do with porn. It has a lot to do with sure. with sexual sin, and we can talk about that all day long. But as far as a quiet time with Almighty God in this prayer, it's a conversation just like you and I are having. Can you say more about that?
Yeah. It's giving him permission to talk when he wants to and creating space for him to do so and being completely okay with it. Because the purpose of my morning time is to do nothing more than hang out with somebody who loves me beyond anything I can ever imagine. Loves me so much I can trust my day and my family and my work and the rest of my life to him, no matter what. And so that space then creates an environment where I found, now for me, I have friends who hear from him who journal and they just hear God the whole time. For
right.
me, that creates an environment for me that allows me in the middle of my day, and I'll hear that voice. Something will come, and I capture it.
Mark, thank you so much. Mark Miller, Phoenix Chapter President of Truth at Work, truthatwork.org.
Yep.
Check out that, especially if you're a business owner. Roundtable discussions on how to put Almighty God in your business. This is a listener-supported broadcast. You can check us out on DustinDanielsRadio.com. You can subscribe to iTunes. If you need some help right now, you can visit 7places.org, where there's online communities, there's video blogs, there's audio players, and there's a community of people that love you and want to help you walk this through. You follow me on Twitter at @PurityPastor, Facebook.com, Dustin Daniels Radio. The Word of God says that the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but empower.
Thank you for listening to the Dustin Daniels Show. We pray that this radio program has helped you with the challenges that you are facing in your life. We are a listener-supported ministry. To make a donation or for resources that were mentioned on today's program, please visit Seven Places Ministry at sevenplaces.org. That's S-E-V-E-N places.org. The Dustin Daniels Show is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering professional counseling advice that pertains to your personal situation. Since the details of your situation are fact-dependent, we suggest you seek the services of a competent, Christ-based counseling professional.